I want you to turn to the Gospel of John with me this morning. I'm still in the theme, asking for the old paths. And this morning, here in 1 John, we're going to read the text here. Matter of fact, it's verses 35 through 51 of John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 35, we're going to read down through the chapter. If we were to give it a title, we would call it The Most Worthwhile Work in the World. The Most Worthwhile Work in the World. Verse 35, John chapter 1. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, I have those two words circled in my Bible, heard and followed. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called a Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and saith unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, dear God, for stressing here and, of course, many other places in the Scriptures, our relationship with Thee. God, please help us, I pray, move upon hearts today. And Lord, we do pray for Ms. Karstetter and for Vicky's. Ms. Karstetter's already had her surgery, is home, and is doing well. We thank you for that. And be with Vicky's Wednesday. She has her surgery, and she says that the plan is for her to come home later that day, and we certainly trust that is so. And we pray for others that are sick, Lord. I just pray, God. I start calling names. I know there's many we could call. I'll just go ahead and say it. But every name on our Wednesday night prayer bulletin. We pray, God, for their healing and getting well. And I had in mind the Gillens, Lord. They've been having health problems, and especially him. They both have health needs. I just pray, God, for them. And, Lord, it's good to have them here today. Lord, I just pray for healing, and they can come every Sunday, as I know they want to. And God bless. I pray for those watching, maybe health needs there as well online. Now bless our time together, Father. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. the most worthwhile work in the world. Now, as I'm sure you've already gathered, the most worthwhile work in the world, and this is not popular with most people, the most worthwhile work in the world is soul winning.
Right. Yeah.
When you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, you're born again, you're not going to stand at the great white throne judgment. But we Christians are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for our service for the Lord since we've been saved. The Bible teaches that so very clearly. Now, our main text is taken actually from verse 45, and I want to read it now. So important. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And that is what a verse. Notice the significant sequence that we have in this section of Scripture. In the first place, we read that John and Andrew found the Lord through John the Baptist, verses 35 through verse 37. And then we read Andrew found Peter, verses 40 through 42. In the third place, we read that Jesus found Philip, verse 43. And finally, we have the record in the way in which Philip found Nathanael, as we read there in verse 45. I know it's been a long time, but I don't know how many souls. I'm not going to say I'm an example of a soul winner. Ought to be. I'm a pastor. Should be. I have not, did not count, I did not write down every soul I've led to the Lord in these 50 years. That would make it look like I was giving too much praise to the soul winner and not the one that's trying to win someone and then the one that does the actual saving. But how important it is, but I remember, almost shortened this story. It's been a long time, but I'm sure some of you probably remember it. But in church one day, I was in church, and as people do, we look around, and I hadn't gotten in the choir yet. Matter of fact, I was in Bible college. And I saw this man, and I thought, boy, that has got to be him. Got to be. I said, well, it's worth being embarrassed just to go find out. And I did. And I walked up to him and called his name, and I said, that's who you are, right? And he looked at me and he said, how in the world did you know me? As a matter of fact, it was my wife's cousin. And he had come there to Newport News. Most of you have heard of the Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. Big, and a lot of people moved there to go to work, and that was his situation. And I said, it's good to see you. I said, my, I'd love to have you let me come by and see you sometime. He said, come on, you're welcome. And matter of fact, he and his mom and dad lived just a short distance from where my wife's mom and dad lived. And it kind of had a sort of a Crockett settlement in there. Anyway, the day came, we made a date, and I went to talk to him. But let me back up a minute. The first thing I thought about when, based on where I lived and this situation, circumstance, I won't even go into, but at the same time, the first thing I thought, I wonder if he's saved. Wonder why I thought that right off. Are you following me? Nowadays, you'll talk a lot and this, that, and the other, and you know, and not ever say a word about the Lord. And let me say this morning. Yeah, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Don't lift your hand. How many of you still have lost loved ones? They don't know the Lord. If they do, they've never told you. Don't lift your hand. Don't lift your hand. But you still have lost loved ones. They're not on their way to heaven. They're not. It is so very, very important. I began to pray for my dad, well, my whole family. Once I knew the Lord, I started to pray for them. I made a special trip home the day that my dad gave his heart to Christ. And I really hadn't planned on it. The preacher I was working for at the time, we were putting a new roof on his garage. I said, "Preacher, I didn't ask him, and it was not really wise, but I just told him I was his assistant, so assistant too, not assistant. There's a lot of importance in that phrase there. There's a lot of, you know. But anyway, I'm talking as pastors, you know, how that works. I said, "I'm going home to see my dad tomorrow, preacher. I've been praying for his salvation." I said, "I'm going to leave early in the morning, and I'll be back." And I took a preacher friend of mine who's with the Lord now. And so we went, and he was there in the hospital. My dad had cancer. My dad, and I'm going to just say it, he smoked himself right into the grave. That's what happened to him. If you still have that habit and you're still doing that, you're doing yourself a lot of harm. I tell you. But anyway, the price of them today, I heard on the radio the other day, they were going up sky high. I mean, really expensive. Anyway, we walked in there, but the times before, two times before this, I talked to my dad in a serious way, and he said, first time, he said, "Well, how do you know I'm not saved?" And I said, "Dad, there's no fruit of it. You don't go to church." I said, and other things, and you'd think I was being judgmental if I mentioned them. Well, it wasn't long after that till his cancer got bad. He had to go to the hospital, and I asked this preacher, "Come on, go with me," and he did. We had a great time. I don't know how many times, a couple of different times we stopped and prayed for my dad. And he was there in the hospital. And we went in and we began to talk, and I'm standing right there beside my dad's bed. And I said, "Dad, you know why I'm here, don't you?" "Well, I got a pretty good idea." But I saw his eyes tear up. They just teared up. Slightly, but they teared up. I said, "Dad, you need to get settled. Here you are with this awful disease." And I said, "Unless God works a miracle, you won't be here long." And you know what he said? He said, "Son, I've been a sinner all my life." In my mind, I said, "We've got him. We've got him." Without a lot of more ado, my dad bowed his head and asked Christ to come into his heart. Me and that preacher, you know, there are some Baptists today under certain circumstances, they'll still shout on you. Well, me and this preacher did. Nurse come to the door and she said, "Do you mind if I ask if everything's okay?" I said, "Couldn't be better, ma'am." But that's 25 days before my dad died, he got saved. You talk about it, I've said it before and you've heard it before, God's grace and mercy. God's grace and mercy. If you're not saved here today, please listen to what I'm saying. I'm just going to give you what the Bible says. You see, each of these individuals that I just mentioned here a moment ago that gave their hearts to Christ, listen to how I'm going to word this. They gave their hearts to someone. Sort of like, Romans says, that it's kind of like when you got married, you said, "I do." Yeah, I do. Make commitment. you married someone. When you got saved, you married someone. And when we did that, he gave us eternal, everlasting life.
Right.
Oh, mercy. What a wonderful thing. And we didn't have to do a thing but believe. All we had to do was believe. A lot of us had religion. I had religion. I was going to be a chaplain in the Air Force, commissioned as second lieutenant, and go on to my next step was to be a captain. And I was going to be a chaplain in the Air Force. You know, today, unless they've changed it, chaplains are not even allowed to mention Jesus in the military today. If you can't mention Jesus, go sit down. You don't have anything to tell me or anyone else. For that matter, what are some of the lessons we learn here? Especially when we consider Philip, who found Nathanael. The most worthwhile work in the world is to seek, first of all, the salvation of other people. Now, let me give you as a pastor standpoint, or even just as a Christian standpoint. If you have loved ones, mom, dad, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, whoever it may be, and they're not saved, or they've not indicated to you that they're saved, you better start praying and asking God to save your loved one. And if you do it sincerely, you know what's going to happen? God's going to lay it on your heart to go talk to them. You can't pray sincerely for someone's soul without God putting them on your heart to talk to them about the Lord. Now, you may get scolded at the first time, but that's okay. How many times did Jesus get scolded? Don't forget the fact that Jesus was a soul winner. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He loves souls. Philip finds Nathanael. Now, if you do this, and as I said just a moment ago, I hadn't been praying for this man that, and by the way, later on I went to his home. And he was on his knees. I was on my knees. And I said, Ralph, would you ask the Lord to save you today? Everything was going fine, going good. And he shook his head like that. And I prayed. And I felt something wasn't right. Something just wasn't right. Well, I opened my eyes and he was looking at me smiling. In other words, he was making fun of me. Really. I looked at him straight in the eye. And I think I might have even pointed my finger. I called his name and I said, let me tell you something, sir. This is not playtime. By no means. You realize what will happen to you if you die without Jesus? Yes, sir. You better give your heart to Christ. The tears welled up in the corner of his eyes. Long story short, he gave his heart to Christ. Oh my, what a blessing. Here was this old country boy lived down there near where I lived and where my wife was reared there within 3 miles at least. And he gave his heart to Christ. But I thought about his salvation. I could have met him and shook his hand and congratulated him on his new job in the shipyard and all of that and never said a word about Jesus. And that's what most Christians would have done. Most Christians would have done exactly that. Now, along with that, and let me just add this and I'll go on. We need to have wisdom as a soul winner. I'm not one of these people that walk up to people like in Walmart or in a grocery store or wherever and in a lifted voice, that kind of thing, and start preaching to somebody and that kind of thing and embarrass them. I don't do that. I don't do that. Now, if I can get them aside and they want to talk about it, the Holy Spirit leads and we can get into the conversation, fine. But God, we pray for wisdom, and God, I tell you what, do. Start doing this. Every morning when you get up, and you do pray when you get up, right? That's when you need the Lord the most, need to pray the most, because you need Him during the day. You need Him because you don't know who you're going to confront. You don't know what's going to happen, and you need the Lord. And so you do that. But pray and ask God to lead you to someone you can witness to today. I guarantee you He will. Guarantee it. If you're sincere, you mean business, He will. He will. Think about the people that you, your co-worker, schoolmate. There again, your wisdom comes in here. You got to have wisdom. And you do that. If you get, like I said, you get them aside and then speak to them in a low tone, but you got to ask God for that burden. You got to pray for that person. Okay? My neighbor. It's been, I believe his wife told me, it's a little over 2 years ago. Occasionally, our road going to our houses, the in-state maintenance ends just past the mailboxes. And then it's private the rest of the way. But occasionally, we would meet there at the mailbox and we'd begin to talk, and Holy Spirit said, you haven't done anything even to open the door so you can talk to Him about the Lord. The man got sick. Was in Manassas Hospital. And the Holy Spirit on the way down there, as I drove down there, said, you better do it now, but he was seriously sick. It was just a short time after that I had his funeral. So I went into the room and talking to them, and they were so kind to me. And we could spend the whole time talking about the stars and the moon and the birds and the bees and all that kind of thing, you know, and God bless you and gone. I called him his name and I said, I came here with a burden tonight. I said, you know you're a sick man, and I'm not taking advantage of that. You're my neighbor. Love you in the Lord. Long story short, and just before I started to pray, I looked at his wife and I said, you need to do this if you never have. And mean it from your heart. They did. Man, he just started crying, tears running down his face. Thank me for coming. And the whole family. I don't think, unless it's a little grandchild. Thank me for coming. I thought, man, I didn't do nothing. I'm just a messenger. It's amazing how God, now there for a number of years, I'm getting ready to leave my home that I've been at for 46 years. One of the hardest things I've ever done. But all this time, I've had good neighbors. Good neighbors. And I've witnessed every one of them. They've all heard the gospel. And they listened. Matter of fact, two of the families are supposed to be here on the 5th. And I might get others, but I can before then. That will come. But be a witness. Be a witness. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the commentator, one time said, even if I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything, but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might, to be a soul winner. Brainerd said, I cared not where or how I lived or what hardships I went through so long as I could but gain souls for Christ. Remember, folks, Jesus left heaven and went to Calvary to win souls. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Secondly, the new convert can and should engage in this work. That's when you're most excited. And, oh, yeah, who did God lay on my heart the first thing? My family. My mom and dad, my two brothers and two sisters. Two of them went to heaven not too awful long ago, and it's because they knew Christ. It's because they knew the Lord. Philip had just gotten saved, and at once he set out to win Nathanael in verses 43 through 45. He lost no time. Why should he? Why should he? He had made a tremendous discovery. How long should he have waited before sharing his discovery with someone else? I believe we ought to, as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, I think we ought to, back some years ago, I had a soul winning class I taught. I think it's ladies was Thursday mornings before they went on visitation. Folks, at one time, Thursday morning, we had over 40 ladies out on visitation. One night out here in this parking lot, we had a crowd of people out there, and that was over 40. Do you remember that? Was it 52? Brother Carter says it's 52. I'll take that. Amen. It's 52. 52 people. We divided up in pairs, and we went out soul winning. Not to talk about who won the last ball game, soul winning. All the wisdom we have. And one of the best approaches I've, over the years that God has given to me, sir, ma'am, I would like to ask you a question, and I hope you'll understand, it's just simply concern. When you leave this life, do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? Now, to me, that's not insulting. Now, you can insult people. You know, if you died today, you'd go to hell. That's judgmental, and people don't take that lightly. After all, we are witnessing the human beings. We are. Your own, one of the best ways to begin is your own personal testimony. Tell them how you got saved. Tell them who this man, this woman, or this guy, or these two guys, or these two ladies come by my house and they talk to me. And I understand that we're living in a different time today. I know we are. There was a day when, as I said not long ago, people opened the door and I'd tell them who I was. They said, well, please come in, big smile on their face, ask me to sit down, offer me a glass of water or whatever. Led a lot of souls to the Lord when I first came to Warren. Back then, I didn't have anybody to go with me. There was nobody to go with me. So if it's getting done, Brother Roger and all, I had to go by myself. But back then, you were pretty safe. That was back in 1973. And I went up the streets there where I lived on a little house, a little yellow house on the way toward the high school. After I would eat dinner, I'd come a while. I'll be back shortly. Give me a handful of tracts and a church brochure if we had one at that time. And just go out. Oh, I've heard about you. You're a new pastor come to town and you're going to build a new church. Talkative. Conversations. I mean, they were just glad to see me. I will say this. I have to say this. This might put a damper, so to speak. You'd think the same thing on what I'm trying to preach here this morning. May I help you? Tell them who you are. And no thank you. Most of them today will still take the brochures. Our brochure, whatever you're passing out. And it's because of the day we're living in. After dark, you don't know who's knocking on that door. I'm not trying to put a damper on visitation, Brother Shelton. I'm just telling you how it is. But there again, you know, that's why Brother Carter and I, now that we're in the middle of moving and all that, not doing it as intensely as we were, but we'd meet and go and before it gets dark. And now that's why our visitation all the time, same time, 10 o'clock, Saturday mornings. You know how many come just to go soul winning? Now, I don't know why they don't. Maybe they're Saturday, this their day off, they're too busy. You can always, always, you can always find an excuse if you're looking for one. All the time. Psalm 19 in verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. Converting the soul. That's a complete turnaround. You're going this way, you get saved, you turn around 180 degrees and go that way. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What about your testimony? And I'm almost finished. It should be an informal type of visit. Yeah? Really? It should be informed. In other words, I'm so-and-so. We're from Trinity Baptist Church. And we're out tonight going door to door, and I'd invite you to come visit our church. But now that's not all. You're there, and when you leave, they have received a message unless they rejected it. Okay? Yeah. You see what you're giving, and by the way, can't leave this out. You always go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that does the convicting, not me and you. And just want to talk to you. But see, when you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, what does God's Word say? My Word shall not return void, but accomplish that whereunto I send it. Isaiah. It'll not return void. They may reject what you're saying, but after you're gone, that same night or maybe the next day on the job or wherever, now, what did that guy say to me? What did they say to me? Oh, the power of God's Word we just quoted a moment ago, it'll not return void. Oh, yeah. It's infectious. Philip was passionate in his talking to Nathaniel. And I wrote down a sentence here, three-word sentence. Philip, he meant business. It wasn't out there just to waste time, you know. It meant business. And then you can hurry quickly. And by the way, you know, I'm so afraid. I don't want to sound negative, even though it is a negative statement. Pray that God will give you the wisdom, and don't lose those golden opportunities that God gives you to witness for Christ. And if you take notice, there's a lot of them. Oh yeah, there's a lot of them. They almost let us run out of gas back when it's been a couple, 3 months ago now. My tank was down to 2%. 2%, and it was cold at night. And this old boy rolled up there in my driveway, thought he wasn't coming, but he did. Anyway, he lived in Front Royal. And before he left, he went ahead and put the gas in, and then he was on his way out, and I don't remember his name. And I said, hey, could I ask you a question? He said, well, absolutely you can. I said, you know for sure where you're going when you die? Yes, sir, I do. I belong, and he told me about the church in Front Royal. Right now, I can't remember the name, the church. But anyway, he said, yes, sir. I do know the Lord. Man, made me feel good. And I said, Lord, you had a reason for sending the gas here. It just burns as well because it got there late than it had if it had put some in when it had 90% in the tank, you know. But we notice here, you tell the individual to come, your next step, if they're receptive, you tell them, look, by the way, like if you don't attend somewhere regularly, would you come visit our church? Sure. Sure. The person that you're witnessing to will present objections, doubts, prejudices. Whatever you do, don't argue. Don't argue. Just lost them. And the more longer you go, the worse it's going to get. Oh, yes, it will. Experience speaking. Sometimes I don't use the wisdom that God's given me. And well, sometimes your burden to see them saved will cause that. But if you're not really careful, you'll get in the flesh. And remember, it's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It really is. It really is. John 9:25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Isn't that good? Holy Spirit just opened his eyes, you see. Remember that the Lord is always with you. Oh, yeah. Lord's always with you. This truth is seen in verses 47 through 48. Long before Philip thought of Nathanael, the Lord knew all about him and longed for his salvation. We read that in Mark 16, 19 and 20. And this tells us that soul winning work is not primarily man's work, but first and foremost, it's the Lord's work. You see, and he does that work through you and me. See, we're his servants. Are you a good servant? Are you a dedicated servant? Yeah. Yes. An anonymous writer wrote this. He knows that I am longing for some weary soul to win. He knows that I'm longing for some weary soul to win. And so he bids me go and speak the loving word for him. The main points here, and I'm finished. What a moment when the one we're witnessing to gives their heart to the Lord. Can you imagine the joy that came in Philip's heart? I've had this word spoken to me, preacher, I'm just not that talkative person. I am just not. See, you done talked yourself out of doing the greatest work in the world that you will ever do. It is personal. Oh my, it's personal. Certainly it is. But there's joy. Mainly because you know you've done the right thing. Yes. Keep in mind that some plant the seed, some water the seed, someone else reaps the harvest. An incentive, last of all, we can use to win others is the plan that God has given us. And it's all here. It's in this book. Ever heard of, some of you have, ever heard of the Roman road? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a blessing. And he said his word will not return void. You see, when you go out for soul winning, and I'm done, some of you will appreciate this, some won't, but these were great preachers, pastors of days gone by. You could be winning a Lee Robertson to Christ. You could be winning a John Wesley to Christ, a John Whitfield, a William Carey. I cannot for my life remember Taylor, the great missionary. or David Livingston? What'd you say, Chris? Yes. That dude right there, he knows his Bible. I tell you right now, he does. Wonder why he knows his Bible. He reads the Bible, goes to church regularly. I don't think that family, unless they were sick, have missed a service since they joined this church. Good. Brother Rhodes, one of our ushers. Or you might be winning a quarter gallon time to the Lord. Can I say it without being braggadocious? I led that man to the Lord in my living room. You could be winning a Kay Milton to the Lord. She's our secretary. You could be winning a Roger McDonald. He does the meager task with a burden, and as a servant of God, keeps her buses gassed up. Amen. I've done it before. I know what it's like, especially when it's cold and the wind blowing and all that. But you can't run them without gas. So that brother took it on himself to gas them up every week. I'm finished. I'm later than I normally am. I know that. But I had a real burden. Always do, but boy, there was something about this one. I ask God to bless it to His glory. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please.